Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, October 28th. Week 8 almost in the books. Felt pretty good for me. I don't know about you, but my teams are rounding in the form. Just the right time, too. Those paper champs of September are coming back to the fold, and the real teams are about to stand up like Slim Shady, and I'm loving every bit of that. So hopefully that's the case for you, but let's unpack everything that we saw yesterday. In the meantime, too, by the way, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. We'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles defeating the Cincinnati Bengals. And apparently that was the first time in franchise history they had won in Cincinnati. Obviously, they only play against them every 4 years, which often means they don't play there very often at all. Basically, every 8 years they're going to play there. But the Eagles rolled here. 37-17, 20-point win. And a lot of it was Jalen Hurts. I mean, he put up 3 rushing touchdowns. He threw for another one. It was Devontae Smith, not A.J. Brown. But honestly, A.J. Brown, 5 for 84, is not bad. You know, and when players have down games, the first thing that I do is not complain. I mean, I'm not going to do that probably ever about fantasy football. I have 2 complaints today, but they're not fantasy related. Either way, I'm going to look to target share first and foremost. Target share is really the most important thing. I know you don't get points for targets, but let's see. Player has a down game. Was the target share bad? Well, Jalen Hurts threw the ball 20 times. A.J. Brown saw 6 targets. That's a 30% share. No, that's pretty good. No reason to be concerned here. This is a floor game for him. And Barkley gave us a little bit of a Derek dilemma. Remember, I named it after Derrick Henry, but it refers to when you have a decent day on the ground, don't do anything in the passing game, and don't score a touchdown, you don't have a great fantasy day. 108 on 22 carries is very solid, but Barkley only caught a ball for 3 yards, no touchdown, so it's a Derek dilemma day. Better days will be ahead. Joe Burrow, I feel like he should have done better in this matchup. He didn't. It was a weird one for him. I'll chalk it up to that because he's been quite good this season. 234-1. The one goes to Chase, but 9 for 54. That was weird. Don't get too caught up with Mike Gesicki. 1 week is not going to change things for my outlook for him. And yes, definitely boom or bust. I feel like some people are going to chase him. I'm not going to have him in waivers for tomorrow. We'll see if T. Higgins can get back. It was weird him popping up late. It feels like a T. Higgins thing. Am I wrong in that? Him popping up late and then not playing. Chase Brown still the lead back. Scored a touchdown. Didn't really do much. It's not that Zach Moss did anything either here. All right, moving on. And I don't even like rostering Zach Moss as it is, but I get it if you're hard up. Baltimore-Cleveland? Really? Really, Jameis? Okay. Hey, listen to this. All right, so we saw the numbers for Jameis Winston. By the way, his pre- and post-game interviews, I don't even think he's a national treasure. I don't think we're good enough for Jameis Winston. You know, the weird thing about him, and weird is the operative word, he's gotten progressively weirder since he's been a professional, like weirder and weirder and weirder. And now he's to the point where it's actually endearing. Like for a while, it was like, oh, let's just make fun of Jameis. I'm like, nah, I mean, this is kind of cool. 334-3. Okay, so Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco over the last 2 seasons have combined for 6 starts. In those 6 starts, they have 5 300-yard games combined. Deshaun Watson over the last 2 seasons has started 13 games, and he has 0 300-yard games. I don't think the problem is anything other than Deshaun Watson. And I don't know how they get out of this problem. But the good news is, you know, Jameis is not going to be perfect. He's not going to throw 0 interceptions every single week, but he is going to throw the ball downfield, and he's going to consistently do so. And that means Cedric Tillman, 7 for 99-2, is going to be viable. It means Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy are going to be viable. It means David Njoku is going to be viable. Nick Chubb, probably not going to be that viable, unfortunately. And, you know, hey, it's great that he's back on the field, but he is a 29-year-old running back coming off of a devastating injury. Average 3.3 yards per carry. He's going to get the volume, and really he'll be touchdown dependent. To the other side, I mean, hey, Mark Andrews isn't even going to be a waiver ad because he's still too widely rostered. But I get people who, you know, if he is somehow out there, want to add him. It's still a risky situation because Isaiah Likely is being used just as much. But I get it. I mean, he's scoring touchdowns, and that's good. In games where they're going to throw a lot, Zay Flowers, he tends to be a great option, and he was here 7 for 115. And Henry, even though he only had 11 carries, he averaged 6.6 per. He scored another touchdown. That's 8 straight games. He scored a touchdown every single time, every single game, that is, with the Ravens. So that has been very good. And I think we saw what Rashad Bateman is. You know, he's boom or bust. Hopefully we saw that. All right, moving on to Tennessee and Detroit. Not much to be said on the Tennessee side. Yes, of course, Calvin Ridley had a big day. Well, he had a big first quarter, really, and then largely disappeared from there. If you started him, great. You got the one game. Good luck predicting when the next one comes. Tony Pollard was solid. 20 for 94 on the ground and did catch 3 balls for 23 yards. Now, as far as Mason Rudolph, he's been better than Will Levis, so he may still start. This team is a one-win team. There are 2 of them left. They could be picking a quarterback, whether it's Cam Ward, whether it's somebody else, Shador, whoever they view as the top quarterbacks. And we have a ways to go before that, but they're going to be picking a quarterback. Whatever. Put Mason Rudolph in. Who cares? On the other side, the Amon-Ra, like, that's another great example. Like, Jared Goff threw the ball 15 times. Okay, so Amon-Ra is not going to have a big game. He had 85 passing yards. Amon-Ra is not going to have a big game. The team had, in total, 94 passing yards because Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, everything else here, like, they didn't need to do anything, so I'm not freaking out. Although it was nice to see Sam Laporta surfacing in this one. So we have that going for us, which is nice. I mean, Gibbs only had 11 carries. No, 127 yards. Monty had 9 carries. Now he did throw for a touchdown too, which helps. But yeah, blowout central in that one. Moving over to Arizona-Miami, it was very good to see Tua back. Obviously, he didn't win the game, but he changed the dynamic. And this is a floor game for Hill and for Waddle. Waddle goes 4 for 45. Not great, but that's a floor. Hill goes 6 for 72, a little bit better, and that's a floor. But what we really saw is the run game activated. Achane was on his A game. 10 for 97 was exactly what we were seeing out of him last year. And then he chips in, ho-hum, 6 for 50 and a touchdown. Raheem Mostert scores 2 short, goal line touchdowns. He will do that when they get down there. They don't always get down there. I feel like a lot of people are going to chase him. I'm really only viewing him as Achane's handcuff with a little bit of real value. There will be some weeks, certainly, I'm sure, where I'm going to have him in flex territory. Maybe during the Bi-Mageddon, he might move up higher. But as long as Achane is out there, Mostert is more the handcuff. So be clear, it's not Jalen Wright. He is a secondary handcuff. He is not the primary. The primary is Mostert. On the other side, I mean, Kyler looked pretty good here. I got a lot of pushback for continuing to rank him where I rank him, but there's a reason for it. He does have a high ceiling as a passer. He threw 2 touchdowns here, 307 in this game. And he offers with his legs. Now, only 19 rushing yards, but come on. James Conner gave you a classic like RB2 stat line, 20 for 53, but a touchdown, and chipped in 2 for 16. So he's an RB2. We saw McBride get big in this one, 9 for 124. We saw Marvin Harrison get big, 6 for 111. Michael Wilson got in the end zone, but he's not a priority for me. I'm debating whether or not to even have him in the waiver column. Little bit of Zay Jones. I think his work is going to increase as we move forward here. We'll probably end up seeing more of him than Greg Dortch down the stretch. And that's only really good for Murray. It's not that Zay Jones is going to be fantasy viable. Moving on to the Jets and the Patriots. Let's start on the Patriots side. Of course, they did win this game. Sorry, Jets fans. It's really ugly for the Jets right now. Drake May concussed. He did have a rushing touchdown before he left the game. We'll have to monitor him through the week. If he can't go, then Brissett would be at least desperation viable in Superflex. Ramondre Stevenson. So last week, I had a couple people like, why do you keep ranking him as a flex? Because he is a flex. And this game shows you exactly why. Was he great? No. He had 20 carries for 48 rushing yards, but he scored twice. That's a flex. Flex guys are not going to produce top 30 numbers every week. They're going to produce top 15 numbers, and then they'll be outside of the top 40. Like, that's what a flex is, and that's what Ramondre Stevenson is. You just have to know what ride you're signing up for with these guys. Hunter Henry, another solid game, 5 for 45, isn't amazing, but he saw 6 targets, and he's going to be at least a back end tight end 1 in that range. To the other side, so Hall ran hard, 16 for 80, but when it came time to get a goal line carry, they gave it to Allen. That's frustrating. The other touchdowns go to Conklin and Gibson. That's frustrating. B. because Garrett Wilson, who was very busy, 5 for 113, didn't get any looks in that area of the field. And then Adams actually ran one more route than Garrett Wilson, but just 4 for 54. I think they need to just get on the same page. I don't think Rodgers was terrible by any stretch. I mean, really, if I look to the weak link, while the quarterback tends to get, you know, the quarterback always gets too much credit or too much blame, right? If he's getting too much blame here, it's the defense that deserves most of the blame. The defense has been just bad. And that was supposed to be the strong suit of the team. And I had mentioned this before, but I think there's, you know, deserves to be brought up again. Is this the result of the interim head coach also calling defensive plays? Should he hand off those duties and do his job as a head coach? It's hard to do both. You know, not everybody can. Let's move on to Atlanta and Tampa. Okay. I love the NFC South. What the heck? I this game was so entertaining. 31-26 Atlanta. Cousins throws for 4 touchdowns. 276 was almost perfect on the day. He's dropping dimes out there, connecting with Mooney, 5 for 92 and a touchdown. Kyle Pitts, welcome to the party. 2 touchdowns, 4 for 91. He was awesome, except, I mean, he almost did to DeSean Jackson, but whatever. It ultimately was still a touchdown. Bijan going for 100 on the nose in terms of scrimmage yards. He had 19 touches, 6 catches, though. One of them a touchdown. He was significantly better than Tyler Allgeier. So everything he could have asked for there. Now, I had a question coming in on the other side this week. How does Baker Mayfield respond to not having Godwin and Evans? Well, the answer is pretty friggin' good. He did have 2 interceptions, whatever. I don't care about the interceptions. 330 and 3. Kate Otten is now his guy. Kate Otten will continue to produce until at least Evans comes back, maybe even after that. But he went 9 for 81 and 2 scores. That was pretty awesome. They didn't really get anybody else majorly involved. I mean, Rakeem Jarrett had 3 for 58, but he's more of a reserve player. I was really kind of keying in on Sterling Shepard, Jalen McMillan, Trey Palmer. Shepard was banged up in this one, and between McMillan and Palmer, Palmer saw 2 targets on 38 routes. McMillan saw 7 on 44. I think it's pretty clear, and I do think McMillan, anyway, he's going to benefit long-term the most here as well. Rashad White continues to be a better pass catcher than Bucky Irving, even though Irving did have 7 for 40. But White ran more routes. It was 22 to 15 and caught a touchdown, 5 for 38 and a touchdown. But Irving remains the better runner, 9 for 44 compared to 6 for 29 for White. White wasn't bad. It's just a backfield split. If you have Sean Tucker, I think you could probably move on from him. You know, if one of those guys goes down, he has a role. But if they're both playing, he has just a very, very small role. Moving on to the Green Bay Packers, Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, let's just start with the injuries here because there are major injuries in this game. Jordan Love left the game with a groin injury, did not return. Malik Willis was out there. The early reports suggest this week is in question for sure for Jordan Love. It does not seem like a long-term issue, but he could miss this upcoming week. If he does, Malik Willis will get the start. He'll be super flex worthy. All right. And we know what that does. It does move the guys down. It doesn't move them as down as much as we had thought, like Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, etc. It doesn't move them down as far as we once thought, but it still moves them down a little bit. But the Jaguars were banged up even worse. Christian Kirk, fractured collarbone, will miss the rest of the season. So all those trade talks, those are done now. Brian Thomas Jr., chest injury, will miss 2 to 4 weeks per Jeremy Fowler. Even Gabe Davis banged up in this one with a shoulder, and I don't know the extent of that injury, but Parker Washington, opportunity knocks. We'll have to talk about him tomorrow. He will be a top 10 ad. Of course, tomorrow's podcast, I go through the top 10. The waiver wire tool, which actually the early version of it is already populated at ftnfantasy.com. I put it out around noon, 12:30 on Mondays, and then I'll add to it through the course of the day, and I'll add in FAB. I usually do that during Monday Night Football when I add the FAB percentages in, and then it continues to evolve until Tuesday afternoon. If you're a subscriber, you see what I mean. Anyway, Parker Washington is going to benefit. Trevor Lawrence threw for 300 yards, 308 and 2. I mean, he's been pretty good since that slow start. And the fantasy numbers were decent here as well because he chipped in on the ground and scored a rushing touchdown. Tank Bigsby ran hard, but this was a Derek dilemma game. 18 for 78. Didn't do anything really in the passing game. Had 2 for 8 yards. All right. Evan Engram also will benefit a lot from no Christian Kirk. Like, Evan Engram went from, are we trusting him? Yeah, I think so, too. No, hell yeah, we're trusting him. He is an every week starter, lock him in. Like, if you have Evan Engram now, the only thing that's going to hold you back is injury. I would keep an eye on Brenton Strange as well. I'm not going to include him in the waiver tool for this week because he only ran 12 routes out of a possible, 35? Either way, it wasn't a lot. He ran 12. Evan Engram ran 26. He did see 5 targets for 59 yards. So I don't know if they expand his usage and they go to more 12 personnel. If they do, then Strange could have some value in deeper leagues. But still, Evan Engram is the priority. Even though Strange had more yards and receptions, Evan Engram got the touchdown. He's still the priority there. Moving to the other side, other than, you know, the Jordan Love injury, Josh Jacobs, 25 for 127 and 2. They're going to keep using the heck out of him. Christian Watson ran 24 routes. Why is that important? Well, ordinarily, he rotates with Dontavian Wicks. Dontavian Wicks only ran 8 routes. Like, all the people last week who wanted to know why I didn't have him in the waiver tool, that's why. We already did this once this season. You know, it's fool me once. All right, fine. Shame on you. But you don't get fooled again, right? Is that how it goes? Only some people will get that reference anyway. Yeah, don't be shame on me. You know, I knew what was going to happen here, and it is exactly what happened. So Watson actually is moderately appealing, even though the numbers weren't good here. He is fairly widely available. Indy, Houston. Okay, I do have a major critique here, and this one is ridiculous. I've never seen anything like this before at the pro level. Anthony Richardson, and no, I'm not going to pick on his atrocious completion rate. No, not that. A completion rate that we haven't seen since the likes of Akili Smith in 2000 when he completed 44.2% of his passes. No, not that. Anthony Richardson exited the game for a short period of time because he was tired. That is so alarming. If I was a Colts fan, I would be furious here. Meanwhile, you have a very capable starting quarterback who's not going to leave the field because he's tired in Joe Flacco. He's not going to tap out. I don't know what you do from here. But obviously, we can't use Anthony Richardson. I don't care if he has big plays. I do think Josh Downs is fine. And whatever with Pittman, he did see 6 targets. It sucks. It does. Hopefully, they go to Flacco. I can't guarantee that, though. There's probably orders from down high that they have to continue to use Richardson, but whatever. Steichen's offense is so good, too. How open was Josh Downs? To the other side, so another injury here that we are awaiting news on. Let me just see here. Okay, Jameis Winston is the starter going forward, by the way. So you have that. That news just broke here as I'm refreshing things. But yeah, no news yet on Stephon Diggs. It was a non-contact. I guess no news is good news, because a lot of times they can test for things without having to have an MRI. You know, you know the test, we heard that about the Achilles stuff for Watson, for example. Like, the test takes 5 seconds. So no news is probably good news, but we'll have to wait and see. Joe Mixon is awesome. Another 100-yard game. Basically, every game he's been healthy in, he has been elite. Now, the only problem that I keep running into him with him is his age gives me a little bit of concern that he can stay healthy. But when he's on the field, he has been awesome. In terms of beneficiaries, if Diggs misses time, I would look to John Mechie more than Robert Woods. Maybe that's finally the opportunity for him. And then remember, only one more week of Nico Collins on injured reserve. He is eligible to return in week 10. And the initial timetable said week 10 would be the return. And I don't see any ramp-up period. I think it's just they put him there, they bring him back, and then we're good to go. And then that helps CJ Stroud out as well. New Orleans and the Chargers. The Chargers dominated here, and Justin Herbert's really kind of, you know, rounded into form. It helps when Ladd McConkey has 2 touchdowns and 111 yards, but you have Ladd McConkey, and he looks really good. Herbert, 279 and 288.3 passing yards per game over his last three. He had 145 per game in his first four. So obviously a little bit better there. J.K. Dobbins got in the end zone rushing touchdown in two of his last three games. So that helped the cause. He's clearly the lead back. You know, Kamani Vidal is not challenging for any touches in that offense. So that is obviously a good thing there. On the New Orleans side, they just need Derek Carr back. I mean, the good news is Kamara ended up being okay. 6 for 55 as a pass catcher, which is great. You get 11.5 PPR points, and they added 67 yards. It was 6.7 yards per carry, though, so I just wish he would have gotten more work here, but they were playing from behind. It ended up being a ton for Olave and pretty much nobody else. 8 for 107 on 14 targets. They, of course, had to bench Rattler. They just need Derek Carr back, and that should help things a little bit. Kendre Miller injured with a hamstring. He was another guy. If I don't have them in the waiver wire tool and they're under 70% rostered, if you're looking on Tuesday night, like I've left people out as of right now. It's Monday. It's Monday afternoon. I certainly have. And I'll start adding people through the course of the day who I miss in my just initial analysis. Like I go through, watch each game. And as I watch each game, I add players to the list. I miss players. I do. It happens. But by Tuesday night, you bet your rear end, I have not missed anybody. And if they're not in there, I don't want to add them. I didn't want to add Kendre Miller. It's more so because of the vibes, you know, from the team, but he is also constantly hurt. And guess what? He's hurt again. Buffalo and Seattle, rain-soaked game, but Josh Allen goes, he did throw his first interception of the season, whatever, but he goes 283 and two. The one touchdown, of course, to Dalton Kincaid, which was a welcome one if you've been starting Dalton Kincaid. You also had a touchdown to Keon Coleman. Back-to-back good games for him. Shakir playing every down in this one, 9 for 107, which was great. That was the only knock I had on Shakir. If he wasn't playing every down, that'd be a problem. Now, Amari Cooper only had one catch for 3 yards. It was a rain-soaked game. He's still getting acclimated, but he did leapfrog his way up. He basically was the number three receiver in this game. I do not think that sticks. I think ultimately he becomes the number one receiver. That's the reason why you trade for him, but he has to get acclimated still to the team. James Cook, 17 for 111 and two. Okay, good. Kenneth Walker, 9 for 12. Yikes. What happened? 4 for 33. At least he bails us out a little bit there. And of course, the touchdown went to Zach Charbonnet. Honestly, this was a tough one. No DK Metcalf, so you lose that element of the offense. The field stretcher, Jake Bobo, just can't do that. So it was Smith and Jigba who had 6 for a very nice 69 yards, and then that was kind of it. Better days will be ahead for the Seahawks, but they ran into a buzzsaw in this game. Carolina and Denver. On the Carolina side, so it does seem like we're angling towards a Deontay Johnson trade. Apparently today on Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter said he thinks he's going to be traded before the deadline. He did not play in this one. So what does this do to the team? I mean, the team is looking towards the future, and it does mean that Bryce Young probably will continue to start. 224 and two for him. Honestly, not bad for Bryce Young. Like, not bad. Not great, but not bad. He had two picks, but whatever. I thought Jalen Coker was interesting. He led, oh no, he did not lead the team. He was close to leading the team in a routes run. David Moore did. Why not? David Moore had 33. Jalen Coker had 32. 4 for 78 and a touchdown, though, for Coker. He will be in the waiver wire column. Xavier Leggett did also get in the end zone, but 4 for 34, not optimal. You don't have a high ceiling, obviously, with Bryce under center. On the other side, Bo Nix. A lot of people were like, really? Top 10? Yes, really top 10. It was matchup based. 3 touchdown passes. He can run as well. Now, he didn't run a lot here, but he scored a touchdown as a runner. So a huge week for him. The touchdowns go to two of his tight ends and Jaleel McLaughlin. But Cortland Sutton did have 8 for 100. Javonte Williams comes back to the pack. A lot of people were questioning me when they were chasing last week's numbers. And I said, well, you know, he's still Javonte Williams. And, you know, he's not all of a sudden just into the next coming of like Gale Sayers or something, or well, maybe team specific Terrell Davis. He's not the next coming. If you sold high on him last week, good for you. If you bought on him last week, well, that's not good. I mean, is it this bad though? Oh no.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame.
Don't buy high. Don't buy high. It's a bad idea. Okay. Sorry about that. But somebody, you know, somebody has to speak the truth. All right. Kansas City and Vegas. Mahomes, how about that? Now, it's not like DeAndre Hopkins was a monster here, but having him on the field certainly helped. He ran 14 routes. Expect that to continue to grow. But Travis Kelce, this was the game we were waiting for. 10 for 90 and a touchdown. Huge game for him. Kareem Hunt scores as a runner. But do you see what I mean? I mean, do you see? He's so sluggish. He's a plotter. He averaged 2.8 yards per carry. He hasn't been over 3 yards or 4 yards per carry since that first week with the team. 2.8. He scored a touchdown. Great. Hit 21 carries for 59 yards. We could see Pacheco potentially practice this week, but that's still up in the air. This is week 7, heading into week 7 weeks removed from the injury. The initial timetable of 6 to 8 weeks. If he practices this week, though, I would not expect him activated until at least next week. We'll see when they open up the window. But Kareem Hunt, I mean, if you could still sell, I would sell. Bowers, solid. Myers played 6 for 52 and a touchdown, solid. Alexander Mattison had 14 carries for 15 yards. Not solid. Not solid at all. I'm glad the Raiders gave him a game here, though. That was fun. Moving on to Chicago and Washington. Yep. The other complaint here, Tyreek Stevenson. What the heck were you doing? If you haven't seen it on the Hail Mary, he's down in the end zone, like not in the play, like on the sideline almost in the end zone, taunting the sideline, the crowd. Then he sort of runs over to the play. And then instead of doing his job, which was cover the deep man, which was Noah Brown, which is also known as the guy who caught the touchdown on the Hail Mary, Stevenson runs into the scrum, basically, and he's right there, you know, essentially tipping the ball. I would be furious if I was a Bears fan. Now, if I was a Commanders fan, you saw the Hail Maryland. I mean, you saw a play that your team, your fan base is now going to talk about for a very long time. It was epic. It was epic that Jaden Daniels managed to play through it. Now, if you didn't use him, I don't think you were wrong, because other than that play, he was not really having the best fantasy day, right? He had the rushing yards. He had 8 for 52, but he had under 300 passing yards. He had no touchdowns. So I don't think you did the wrong thing at all. You went the safe route, and that's a lot of times is the right idea. McLaurin's still fine. He's so productive here with Daniels. 5 for 125. Zach Ertz, 7 for 77, which was solid there out of him as well. I mean, all around, really fascinating game. And let's move over to the other side. So DeAndre Swift continuing to roll, 18 for 129 and a touchdown. Great for him. Otherwise, I know some people are like upset about DJ Moore, et cetera. Like DJ Moore's basically been a wide receiver 3 this season, which it's unfortunate, but you know, we had him in wide receiver 2 territory. Maybe it's just time to reevaluate. Keenan Allen, kind of the same range. Roma Dunze actually led the way in receiving yards, but it was only 41. Caleb Williams was not good until the very end of the game. And then he was solid. So we just have to build from there. It's not always, not every week's going to be perfect for sure. All right, last game on the list here, we have the San Francisco 49ers defeating the Dallas Cowboys. Deebo Samuel leaving the game with a ribs issue. Jordan Mason with a shoulder. But Christian McCaffrey, by all accounts, should be back after their bye in week 10. So I don't think it's worth running out and getting Garendo. I think it's fine to get Pearsall. He had 4 for 38, carried the ball 1 for 39 yards. He was fine. And Brock Purdy, how about the wheels, man? 8 for 56 and a touchdown? Yes. On the other side, Dak thrown to CeeDee Lamb 17 times, 13 catches for 146 and 2. That was his first 100-yard game of the season, and it came at a good time for a lot of us for fantasy. And we saw how much of a mess the backfield was. The Roto-World effect caused a lot of people to run out and pick up Dalvin Cook, and he looked his age. So did Ezekiel Elliott, but at least he scored a touchdown. It's a mess. Oh, it's a mess. All right, that's going to do it for today. FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram. Enjoy Monday Night Football. We'll unpack that. We'll talk some news and waivers on the show. Top 10 tomorrow. So I will catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.